You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
That's right. Welcome in. You are Locked On Broncos, and it's time to drop some knowledge. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. And again today, we are joined by the real Eric Trickle. Of course, MileHighHuddle.com senior draft analyst. Not to be confused, Eric, with the, what is it,
The parody account, not Eric Trickle.
Yeah, not to be confused with not Eric Trickle. Welcome in, bro.
Thanks. Glad to be back once again.
Luke, you got to drop some knowledge on our listeners about this parody account. For those who missed it, Eric became, he's already got a reputation. He is a writer on a major Denver Broncos publication, and he's got that going for him. But last week, he was plagiarized by a competing website, and then his name popped up all over the internet, including a Deadspin, and he became internet famous. And Luke, someone went out there and created a parody account of our Eric Trickle, and you got to find it, people. Share some of the nuggets for our fine listeners, Luke.
Yeah, well, it's the one, the only Eric Trickle has a parody account. And what I love about it is it combines just so effortlessly talk about the draft, about the Broncos, Alaska, Star Wars, pretty much everything that we know and sometimes love as Eric Trickle. there are gems here like the Millennium Falcons would never have blown a 28-3 lead. A grizzly bear can run up to 30 miles per hour. Now that would be one heck of a 40 time.
Hey, tell us the one. Here's my personal favorite, and I don't have it up or else I would read it. But do you see the one there about Chewbacca?
Yep. Still looking for more tape on Chewbacca. My inside team sources say they love his physicality, but worry about his inability to communicate.
Eric, do you have a personal favorite, my friend?
Yes. One of my personal favorites is actually one of the first ones. There's actually two of them. One of them he made about, I gotta find it real quick.
And for the record, we don't know exactly who created this parody account. We won't speculate, but if you're out there and you're listening to this show, funny stuff. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, one of them is, when one lives in Alaska, are all bars I go into Klondike bars? And if so, what would I do for them? # tipsy midweek thoughts. # it's cold here.
Nice.
And then the other one is, this guy went around to go make memes of me too. But my other favorite tweet is Balta would run a crazy good 3-cone drill. Got to get the antibiotics to town. # motivation is key.
Well, yeah, when you're following Eric Trickle on Twitter at Eric Trickle, make sure you're not following, or maybe you do want to follow the parody account just for, you know, entertainment purposes. It is pretty funny, especially for those who follow Eric as a writer and a personality. It's pretty good stuff. But hey, we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast that focuses entirely on your Denver Broncos, and we check in with you at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're going to talk about the news, but we're going to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So help us out and retweet the episodes on Twitter, share them on Facebook, and check out the work we're doing over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have killer premium Broncos content. It's more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there. And our premium members get 10% off on tickets and 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. And also check out the work that Luke's doing over at Inside the Pylon. Real football nerd stuff that the Fanatics out there will get a kick out of and enjoy. Also, the show's Twitter handle, @LockedOnBroncos. We really need each listener to just take a quick second, open it up on the phone, and follow @LockedOnBroncos. And the home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom. But take a second, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher if you're an Android user, because we have a ton of Broncos and draft and free agency content coming down the pike. Now, yesterday, we talked about some offensive prospects of interest that we want to watch at the Combine this week. We talked about running backs, some offensive linemen, and very briefly about tight ends. And today, we're going to move to the other side of the ball, and we'll start with the trenches, the defensive line. This is a deep group that I'm sure both Luke and Eric could wax poetic on for days, But we're going to stick to a few of Eric's top guys who stand out and could stand to see their draft stock rise or fall at the combine. Guys with questions, in other words, that they need to answer. And we'll start with Michigan State's Malik McDowell. This is a guy who is a little bit of an enigma. And, you know, you look at his measurables and his raw ability, and he looks like a surefire first-round pick to me. In fact, Nick Kendall, Mile High Huddle draft analyst, loves him, of course. But, Eric, I know that it's not that you don't like McDowell, but you have some questions about him. Talk about what some of those questions are and what you want to see from McDowell at the combine.
I talk to Nick and Luke regularly, and we've talked about McDowell quite a bit. A few weeks ago, I was a little bit higher on McDowell than I am now. Something Luke said to me made me go back and reevaluate him a little bit, and I saw what he was talking about, and it dropped him down some more. But the interviews are going to be key for him. There's a lot of effort questions, a lot of maturity questions, just a lot of personal questions that teams are going to dig into him about. When he flashes on the field, it's jaw-dropping, the flashes he has. But when you have a guy who's not giving it his all for at least 50% to 75% of snaps, that's a serious concern. I had a concern with that about a player last year, and it saw him drop from what people thought were second round to fourth round. I'm not seeing a Malik McDowell drop like that, but he's gonna do well in the athletic department. I think he's gonna do pretty well in the position drills. It's just gonna be the interview room for him.
Just out of pure personal curiosity, what did I say? I'm trying to figure out what I could have said that you're like, oh, that was actually a decent point, Luke.
We were talking about him, and you made a comment about how you think you said he's a project, and I said I agree. But I thought he was only like a 1 year project, and he said no, I think he's a 2 or 3 year project.
Yep.
So I went back and looked over him, and I agree. I think he's a guy who can do about 15 to 20 snaps in year one, about 25 to 30 in year two, and then maybe year three you're looking at getting him a starter, like 50% snaps to 75% snaps a game about year three. But yeah, that was the comment that.
Yeah. And then you take the training wheels off.
Yeah.
What do you guys say to the notion that he only has one pass rush move, the bull rush, excuse me. And that also the reason for that could be the fact that he was asked to do so many different things on that D line.
The bull rush is definitely it's his move. He has more in his arsenal, but that's the one that he often goes to. It's the one he uses most effectively. I've seen him try to spin and he ends up on the ground more often than not. I've seen him try to swim and he just gets pushed out of the play. When you see him do all these other stuff, it's more often than not he's failing. So the bull rush is the only move that he has super refined right now.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember, too, that a rip move is going to be really hard for him because he's a big, tall dude. And for him to, you know, extend with his arms and then rip through under a guy, remember, he's got to fit his frame underneath that guy as he kind of pushes under him. So he really needs to get that arm really tight and get his body really skinny through to present as small a target as possible. So that kind of move is really hard for him just because of his frame. So that's why Eric didn't mention it.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm actually kind of curious about how long his arms are going to be. You mentioned the length there and just curious about that.
Well, one guy we need to talk about as well is Elijah Qualls, Washington's big man in the middle there. And Eric, I know you've written about Qualls. What are you going to be watching for from him in Indy?
I want to see how refined his game is now. He's been working a lot with defensive line specialists to refine all this stuff. The way I talk makes it seem like I think he's a first rounder. I actually think he's a late second, early third round player, but there's a lot to like with his game, but it all needs refined. He's got to change up his stance. As Luke and I talked about in a draft rehab where we went over him, he plays, it's short and stout, and it often seems to get taken out of the play. And he's got to bring more consistency as a pass rusher. He showed flashes. He did really good job against Garrett Bowles in the Washington-Utah game.
Yep.
It's just he lacks the consistency as a pass rusher, which is making many write him off as just a run defender, which I completely and wholeheartedly disagree with.
I think in a sense, that's also kind of another projection that you have to make with development in the NFL. You know, are you going to be able to harness his raw skills and develop him into a pass rusher? Because right now, I agree. I do think he is a predominant run defender, but he has the skills and he has the technique, or excuse me, he doesn't have the technique yet to really become that top tier NFL pass rusher.
Well, I'm not expecting him to be a top tier pass rusher. I think he can just do more. He's a guy who you're going to want to play inside more often than outside. And in Denver's scheme, he can do the handle the zero nose tackle or zero tech nose tackle spot, or he can be a five tech depending on the situation, most likely running downs. But on the inside, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that was going to be my question is where does he fit in? If you look at him from Denver's perspective, where would he fit in on the D line? But you just answered it there.
Yeah, I think he's one that they're going to want to plug in the middle of their D line and have him bring some pass rush stuff. And Denver's defensive line coach is considered by many to be the best in the defense in the NFL at developing defensive linemen. And the thought of him working with Qualls and developing his pass rush into more than it is just makes my mouth water.
Well, and next up, we have a guy who many draft Knicks have as a top 10 prospect in this draft, Stanford defensive lineman Solomon Thomas. Now, Eric, this is a guy that is perennial, it would seem, in the draft community. What does he have left to prove at the combine?
There's some concerns about his size. He's listed at 6'3" and 275 pounds, I think. And there's some concerns there. And there's some people who think that he might fall out of the top 10. I think he's going, I personally think he's going to go in and cement himself as a top five player. And as somebody who's been saying for months, well, not months, since beginning of January-ish, that he's a top five player, he's my number two defender, I'm just excited to go see him and really, really am hoping he proves he is a top five pick.
For me, I think he is a top five pick. I mean, this is going to be a defensive, kind of a defensive heavy draft to start with, but man, he's a good player. And between him, Myles Garrett, and, you know, you can make an argument that Jonathan Allen might be the worst of those three. But again, worst is a pretty, pretty relative term because this guy's a top three or four talent himself.
Yeah, he is.
Well, hey, we're going to talk about inside linebackers. We want to break that down for the combine. But before we do, I want to talk really quick about a study that was done by the Interactive Advertising Bureau and Edison Research, which showed that consumers are highly likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. According to the survey of 1,000 podcast listeners, nearly two-thirds, 65% of them, were more willing to consider purchasing products and services that they learned about during a podcast. 60% added that given equal price and quality, they prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcast. So if you're listening to this show as a business owner, that's some powerful data. If you have a product, you have a service, you want to reach a male demographic in particular, as much as we love our female listeners, the demographic that is that listens to this show most predominantly is between the ages of 18 and 44 male. If you want to reach that demographic, reach out to Luke and I at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com, and we can talk about it. Now, the Broncos have a need at inside linebacker next to Brandon Marshall. And as much as everyone wants Alabama's Reuben Foster, you know, to use Eric's phrasing, everybody's mouth is watering over this kid. And Luke, I know you love him. The odds of him being on the board at pick 20 are slim to none. So let's talk about a few other prospects who could be options at some point in the draft. And we'll start with one of the stars of the Senior Bowl, Alex Anzalone. This Florida Gator created a buzz in Mobile, and he seems to have rocketed up many draft boards. And Anzalone still has a lot to prove. At this point, I would think, Eric, what are some of the questions you have about him, and what do you want to see out of him in Indy?
With him, the biggest thing is medical. That's what a lot of these guys are. It's medical. It's a time for them to show this stuff and answer these medical questions. Can't remember what injury it was. I'm trying to find it real quick. But he had one that really brought his career into question, even at the college level. But there's no question he has the talent. I just the other day, I went through trying to get my combine stuff done on my pre-watching before it, and he was on my list. I was watching over him, and he's a good linebacker, and he's versatile. He can play in any scheme, whatever, and can do whatever you need him to be, but it was always injuries. and the best ability is availability.
Luke, the last time we talked about Anzalone, I know you hadn't had as big of an opportunity as you would have liked to have studied this kid. Since then, have you had a chance to really break this guy down and project where he could fit in at the pro level?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think athletically, he checks a lot of boxes for what you want from a linebacker. You know, he can flip and play the pass. He can come downhill and just blow up ISO blocks. But to me, when it comes down to him, he could not stay healthy. I mean, a lot of the injuries were pretty, you know, minor, not necessarily injuries that translate to having difficulties coming back with them at the NFL level. For instance, you know, his senior year this year had a broken arm. I believe it was his left arm. To me, yes, you know, sure, it sucks that, you know, it took him out for a senior season, and I'm not trying to discount that, but NFL scouts are not going to say, oh, that's, you know, that's not necessarily a red flag as opposed to, you know, a back injury. You know, a broken arm is obviously not great to have to deal with, but on the scale of things, it could be worse. So I think this week at the combine is going to be interesting to see how his medical results check out, because teams are going to be really doing their homework on him as well, because they know he can play athletically. They'd love to see him get more reps in college. So he's kind of still a bit of a projection at the NFL level, but my goodness, those medicals need to check out on him.
Well, and yeah, go ahead, Eric.
I found out what it was. He hurt his shoulder twice. He broke his left arm. And the thing that was the career was he took a hit in practice, and he was on the ground for a while. And the coach said at first thought that he had hurt his back, but he ended up just having the wind knocked out of him.
Well, he definitely has some questions to answer, and hopefully he can hammer that out in the medical exams, because he is a fine prospect. It is exciting. You put on his tape, anyone that has – not had an opportunity to just go watch some of his highlight reels at Florida. This is an instinctive player that can do a lot of things. High motor guy at the NFL level. Now, the next guy we want to talk about is Vanderbilt's Zach Cunningham. And some people have him as a fringe first rounder. Eric, why are you going to be paying special attention to Cunningham at the combine?
I want to see if he can show that he's more than what I think he is. He has to do that in the not just the athletic stuff, but more so in the position drills. I think he's a Brandon Marshall-ish clone, very similar play styles, which has him off my board for Denver, actually, is because of how similar they are. And in the 5 to avoid, I mentioned that.
And not so good at shedding blocks, right?
Yes. And I just want to see – I'm looking forward to seeing if he is just more than what he is. And I know there's a lot of questions with teams have, because he was really good, not this last season, but the season before in 2015, when he was a little bit smaller. Then he added some weight and his play dropped a little bit. So teams are going to be concerned about how much room does he actually have to add on, and if the added weight was a reason for his little bit of decline in play.
Luke, it sounds like to me he would make a phenomenal will linebacker in a 4-3 system. Do you think he has the wherewithal physically, though, to stack up inside in a system like the Broncos run, a 3-4, Zach Cunningham?
I think he can. I think athletically he can kind of play wherever you want to put him. I wouldn't necessarily put him, you know, at a strong side linebacker position. But off the ball, yeah, he can definitely play wherever you want him to. I mean, this guy is... I think he's going to have one of the best combines of all the linebackers. Although, of course, who knows, really? You're just kind of projecting based off tape. But again, his tape showed him, we saw it multiple times in the NFL this year, he leaped the snapper on a field goal attempt. That's pretty good athleticism in my book, at least, especially for a linebacker. See, my thing with him is, though, he keeps dropping his head when it comes to tackles. He can sort through the trash, but he's just such a poor tackler and just has so many missed tackles against him, against the run. So that, to me, is going to be very, very difficult to project him to his starting NFL linebacker position year one.
Eric, that's not necessarily something you want to hear from a top prospect at linebacker, someone who struggles to make the tackle and wrap up.
No, it isn't. And somewhere I had a stat, I was trying to find it, of how many missed tackles he had in his career. And it was an alarming amount. Yeah, he racked up a lot of tackles, 195 one year, I think, and 150-something in another, and just ridiculous numbers. But when you're looking at, it was like, it was at least 60 missed tackles in his career. And it's as Luke said, it's, he drops his head, and it's one that makes you just want to scream at him, stop doing that. And as you said, the projections do have him as a will linebacker in a 4-3 defense. And that's where I have him at. That's where a lot of people I've talked to have him at. Just, he's got to show that he can do more than just that. He has the athleticism too. He just has to show that he has the ability to.
Well, and next up we have Jabril Peppers of the Michigan Wolverines. And for those who don't know much about Peppers, Eric, talk about him as a prospect and why his combine performance bears scrutiny.
I think the biggest thing is teams are hoping that his combine performance shows where to play him. He's one of those hybrid players who, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? And they want something definitive. And I think that's what a lot of the hope is for teams, as well as for me, is he actually a safety? Is he actually a linebacker? Which one is it?
How big is this guy, Luke?
People need to stop overthinking this. Jabril Peppers, first of all, we just had this conversation yesterday about offensive weapons. People get so stuck in this way, and this is going to come off as a bit of a rant from me, but this has been, I've been boiling on this one for a little while, is that, you know, defensive weapons exist too. And there are guys that you can play across the board at a lot of different positions and find success with them. TJ Ward, for instance, can play free safety. He can play strong safety. He can drop into the box and play linebacker for you in a pinch. So
Darian Stewart,
another one. Yeah. So you can do that with guys. This is not impossible at the NFL level. They don't have to be a linebacker and they don't have to be a safety. Jabril Peppers is going to be with the linebacker group, and he is by far, I think, the smallest linebacker that has ever gone to the combine.
6'1", 205.
I was going to say he's like 6'1", 210, so he's a little bit lighter than what I would have said. So he's a small guy. Hmm. Let's not get caught up in what he played in college. Dude is a safety. Straight up, straight down, he's a safety.
That's where I think he's going to project best. I just want a definitive answer. But as you said, he's the guy, you can have him do multiple things. But I think what teams want is to figure out where to put him in their base front. That's my opinion on what I think teams are wanting.
Well, hey, we know this is a deep class at defensive back, speaking of safeties. And the Broncos are pretty stacked here, at whether it's at corner or at safety. They just used two picks on safety last year. And then you've got two guys who have been to the Pro Bowl in recent years in, as you guys mentioned, TJ Ward and Darian Stewart. Still, do you see John Elway abstaining from the DB class this year, Eric? Or is it such a deep class that he just has to capitalize and partake? Maybe even Kayvon Webster's future could determine how Elway approaches this particular question.
Well, it's not just Kayvon Webster. You also have to look at Bradley Roby and Aqib Talib. They tried moving Aqib Talib this year. I've heard rumors that they're going to try again. Or they tried moving him last year. I've heard rumors they're going to try again this year. Bradley Roby is entering his – I think he's getting ready to decide if they pick up his fifth-year option or not. Or is that next year? But they're not sure on their two futures. So with that in mind, as well as Kayvon Webster's status up in the air, who they are trying hard to re-sign, is you got to find somebody. This is the year – for defensive backs, this class is really, really strong. You're finding potential long-term starters in the third round. It would be insane for LA to not take a cornerback with the status up in the air. And at the very least, taking one of those guys, you improve your depth, because Lorenzo Doss didn't show all that much to inspire confidence in me personally this last year.
Seems like just a guy, really.
Yeah. So this is the year to capitalize. And there's a lot of names later on that I think would work really good with Denver's scheme, especially having them learn from Chris Harris or Aqib Talib.
And Luke, to Eric's point, the Broncos do have to make a decision on Bradley Roby's fifth-year option here in the next 30 days or so before the new league year opens in early March. So with that in mind, what are your thoughts on the defensive back class as it pertains to the Broncos?
Yeah, you know me, I'm a former DBs coach and a huge DBs person as it stands. So, you know, always get a defensive back because they can play special teams for you. They can, you know, move all around in your backfield if you get a true defensive back as opposed to a cornerback or in a safety. And they can do a lot of things for you. They're bright kids. They have to understand route concepts and react on the fly a lot of the time. So to me, defensive back is one of the most difficult positions on the field. What it comes down to for me, I think in this kind of class, you got to get a defensive back. You absolutely have to come away with one. And I think it's going to happen in rounds 5 to 6 is where you're going to get the kind of typical mid round guys. They'll slide down the board a little bit and they'll settle in rounds 5 to 6. I think one guy I think Denver's really going to be keeping an eye on is a local kid. And I say that because I know they like their local boys, and that would be Akello Witherspoon. Yes. Out of Colorado. He's probably not going to be the first Colorado defensive back drafted by any means. In fact, he's probably going to be the third, but he's a long, really kind of long, tall corner who can really get physical, the kind of guy they like to build with. And I think he has a lot of development left to do, but he can be brought in and trained up, especially with this amount of depth.
I agree. I really like Witherspoon. And I'd actually make the argument that this is the kind of draft class that you want to take two defensive backs.
Well, hey, it's going to be great to see how it shakes out. And the combine is going to offer up some of the answers to the questions we've posed over the last couple of days. And tomorrow, we're going to break down John Elway's remarks at the combine. But for today, that's all she wrote. Again, big thanks to Eric for joining the show. Find the real Eric Trickle on Twitter, at Eric Trickle. And be sure to follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. Luke, at Luke Polglaze. Myself, at Chad N. Jensen. We do love hearing from you. We love engagement. So hit us up and check out the other killer podcasts on the network. Don't forget to subscribe, y'all. For Luke, for Eric, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.